You're listening to The Art Show on BBC Radio Ulster and BBC Radio Foyle with me, Marie-Louise Muir, and we're looking at Christmas on the stage. But if you're a bit bah humbug about pantos, here's our 60-second guide to seasonal shenanigans without men and drag. It is our must-see minute. The slightly grim German folktale Rumpelstiltskin might not shout festive fun, but it is the Max fairy tale Christmas show this year. A reimagining of the classic Brothers Grimm tale about a dwarf who spins flax into gold for a young woman on the condition that she gives him her first child or else guesses his name. She does, and he vanishes in a rage. Is fun for all the family, but I'm told, especially if you're five, and they are tough critics. I've just had my first turkey dinner of the season, compliments of the BBC canteen, so I can empathise with my big fat Belfast Christmas, which is currently trying to squeeze itself into skinny jeans at Theatre in the Mill in Newton Abbey. It's sure to be a Christmas cracker, sure the diet can start in January. And all eyes to the skies this Christmas in Armagh Planetarium to discover why the wise men chose to follow a certain star from Babylon to Bethlehem. The mystery of the Christmas star is retold with some of the investigations and the most likely causes of this cosmological object. Twinkle, twinkle yourself all the way to Armagh Planetarium until the 23rd of December. Well, this time tomorrow, I will be usurped by the undertone, Michael Bradley, and this is what is on tomorrow's art show.
On Friday's art show, singer-songwriter Catherine Hatt on her album inspired by a love story and by her bipolar disorder. Silent Voices, the new comic book on human rights. Why Newry is a hotspot for youth theatre and music from the first full-length album from the Nerve Centre's Sync project. The Art Show with me, Michael Bradley, this time tomorrow.
Of a white Christmas.
Well, it's not so much a white Christmas as a snow-white Christmas for panto queen Sue Pollard. The legendary comic actress of Heidi High fame has played in panto for decades now and is currently appearing in one of the biggest UK and Irish pantos in Blackpool's Grand Theatre, where I caught up with her in between shows.
Just finished our second show. We had the first one this morning at 10:15 because, of course, it's for the schools and it was packed and they screamed, and I kept saying, I can't hear you. So, because I'm the wicked queen in Snow White, so I get them all to scream and scream. And I love it because the teachers leave with a headache. The people are very willing to join in, and they want to enjoy the experience of coming out for the first time ever, being able to allow to join in and boo. You know, very often you go to a musical and you just sit there, yeah, which is fine. But here, you are actively encouraged. You know, the audience are. The nice thing for us is that we get to enjoy our work along with the audience, and it's great for them.
Have you found that, say, the children's reactions have changed much over the past 20 years? Because you've been in panto for, what, 2 decades now?
Oh, no, four.
4 decades?
Yes.
Oh, no, you haven't.
I should have said, yeah, oh, yes, I have. No, I tell you what, though, the basic reaction, magic and awe, and they can't believe what they're seeing, has never really altered. What they've had for Christmas is changed. You know, when they have the kids on the stage at the end. Mm. What did you have for Christmas, Marcus? Oh, I had an orange and a little bike, and now it's Xbox 360s. One of the boys the other day, he was in the audience, and he was an older sort of audience member. He's probably about 12, and Muddles, the character of the jester, he said to him, what are you hoping for Christmas? And this lad said, I'm hoping for £200 and a skiing holiday. I thought, you don't want much. His poor mother, she probably fainted. Oh, you got a laugh.
You're a household name yourself. I mean, what is it that draws big stars like you to tread the boards over Christmas?
It's a very magical Christmassy thing, and you just like to share it with people. You feel a little bit undressed if you don't do a panto.
Really?
And also, it's not like it used to be. Very, very rarely do 8 or 9 weeks now. It's usually about 4 or 5.
But that's still tough enough. I mean, it's done, and they're hard runs. I mean, you are having to be on form every single day.
Oh, yes. No, you're absolutely right there. I think that's it. It's all about stamina.
Yeah.
But equally, if you know that you're doing like 12 shows a week, you know exactly how to pace yourself, what sort of food to eat. You can't eat an awful lot between shows because you've got to go back on again.
So no mince pies.
Oh, no. But I will have one. I'm having one. Are you having one?
No, I'm going to have one afterwards.
Oh,
it'll be my
fabulous.
First mince pie of the season. But this year, I'm just thinking of, as well as yourself, Priscilla Presley, Hayley Mills, they're appearing in Panto. And in previous years, we've had Pamela Anderson. We've had Mickey Rooney. What is it about Panto?
This is Priscilla Presley's fourth visit now.
What do they make of the Panto banter? Because there are very particular rules of dialogue and etiquette, aren't there, within pantomime?
Oh, yes, very much so. I mean, I think this... Because my great friend is Ray Marr. He plays Alf Stewart in Home and Away.
Of course,
and
yes.
I've been in about 20 pantos with him. Yeah. And he said, "What's all this business about he's behind you?" I had to explain to him, you know, and all this. But he was marvellous. And he said, "Oh, we should have this in Australia." He said, I'm definitely going to push for a panto in Australia.
Have you a favourite panto?
It's got to be Aladdin. I was in the cave and I kept saying, "Oh, I can't find the lamp. I can't find the lamp." And this little girl, I don't know how she got on that stage. She was about 5. And she came up and she said, "If you look, it's there next to you."
Out of the mouths of babes.
Yes.
Get the child off the stage, yeah. Quick.
It's true. But you know what was good about it, though, yeah. Marie-Louise? It was great because I thought, good, she's absolutely engaged with the story.
Yeah.
She's got it.
And is there a part that you would like to play? Obviously, you're playing the Wicked Queen in Snow White. Do you think one day, Sue Pollard, they would let you be Snow White?
Oh, well, I was, you know, but I drifted.
Boom, boom.
One day. I just quite like playing the baddie, really.
The villain, it's the best part, isn't it, the villain?
Oh, totally, without a doubt. I mean, if I haven't had one child carried out crying, then I'm disappointed.
No, I absolutely agree.
Yeah.
I'm with you.
The main thing is, really, is to see the people at the end, older and younger, just with smiles on their faces, knowing that they've had a good afternoon or evening.
And if an alien landed on Earth, Sue, how would you describe Panto to them?
Yes, how would you do? Well, you'd have to say, it's really hard, though, is it, to absolutely describe what you would... I'm going to give that a thought, Marie-Louise.
And you've got men dressed up as women and you've got women dressed up as men. It's all very confusing.
Yes, but you know what? It's amazing now because, I mean, you could see people like that in real life in boots now. Can't you? Women dressed up as men and vice versa. I don't think anybody would bat an eyelid now, would they?
Sue Pollard, it has been a pleasure talking to you.
Oh, bless you. And love and happy Christmas to all your lovely listeners.
The irrepressible Sue Pollard. And yes, I did have that mince pie. Well, joining me in a studio is Christina Nelson and Paul Alexander Boyd. Christina, you've worked with big names in the panto world. What is it that makes them come back?
I think it is the fun. It really is an art form. Panto is an art form. And I know there is a lot of snobbery about it. Mm. But some actors just don't get it. But that's because they haven't trained in it. Yeah. And it is definitely an art form.
Although, Paul, there was a time when it was almost a career death to be in panto. I mean, that has changed. It's uber cool now, isn't it?
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, I think when I was young, you know, if you go back to sort of the mid-80s, early 90s, I think panto was very much on the decline. You know, obviously, for me, it was going to see the opera houses, pantos and the regional theatres that existed in those days. But panto has, over the past, I don't know, 7, 8, 9, 10 years, it has learned to evolve further. Mm. And it has learned to bring in, you know, we always did sort of the big pop song of the day and that kind of thing. But there's more to draw on now because we've got many more mainstream musicals now which are aimed at family audiences. We didn't have Matilda and the Lion King and Mary Poppins and all those other shows 10 years ago, 20 years ago. We can now use those songs. So the entire pantomime actually has become a major theatrical production.
We'll let you have a rest. But thank you so much for joining us, Paul Alexander Boyd and Christina Nelson. You've already done 2 shows today at the
indeed.
Lyrics. So you're going to put your feet up tonight.
Absolutely. Maybe a mince pie.
Good
Merry
for
Christmas.
You. Thank you very much. Thank you both.
I'm driving home for Christmas. Oh, I can't wait to see those faces.
Well, while Chris Rea is still behind the wheel of his car, our very own Marcus is still on his panto tour of the North in search of the finest maiden in the land. And he found her, or him, in the Millennium Forum, where Widow Twankey, played by William Caulfield, is celebrating 10 years of damehood.
Prince Ali, fabulous, he, Ali Abba.